Hi, friends. I am Annie F. Downs. Let's read the Gospels. Well, let's read what happened right after the Gospels. The Gospels are the first four books of the New Testament in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the stories of Jesus Christ's life on earth, the friendships, the parables, the sacrifices, the meals, the miracles. If you've never read the four Gospels, you can go back in this feed, in the Let's Read the Gospels feed, and I've read it for you over and over in a bunch of different orders and different versions. So you can go in 30 days, you can also listen to the four books of the Gospel. I would encourage you to do that maybe when we finish this month, or if you want to jump in and start now. There's also a version just like what we're reading now where you can do one chapter a day of the Gospels, and that'll take you 89 days. So however you want to do it, I would love for you to hear the Gospels as well if you've never have before. But the book of Acts, which we're reading now, it picks up right where the Gospels ends, and it takes us into the birth of the church and the continued ministry of the disciples and the conversion and first years of Paul's ministry as well. This is the book that answers the questions, so then what happened and what do we do now? If you get a chance to rate and review this show, it would mean a lot. It's actually how this show gets in front of other people who've never read the Bible before. That may be how you're here. You may have seen it when someone else shared it, or it may have popped up for you as a suggestion because someone else rated and reviewed it well. So if you could turn around and do that, that would mean a whole lot to us. We've got a couple of resources for you. Besides this audio podcast, you can be watching on YouTube. That's youtube.com/AnnieFDownsTSF. Like, that sounds fun. And we also have a free guide that's a reading guide for this month that you can download at anniefdowns.com/gospels. So here's how this works. I'm going to read one chapter to you today. You can listen or watch and read along in your own Bible. And then I'll maybe reflect for a second on what we read, and then I'll pray, and that's it. So today is day 13. I'll be reading Acts 13 in the New Living Translation. Acts 13. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the Black Man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. There, in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. John Mark went with them as their assistant. Afterward, they traveled from town to town across the entire island until finally they reached Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He had attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him, for he wanted to hear the word of God, but Elymas, the sorcerer, as his name means in Greek, interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Then he said, "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, and enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? Watch now, for the Lord has laid his hand of punishment upon you, and you will be struck blind. You will not see the sunlight for some time." Instantly, mist and darkness came over the man's eyes, and he began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. Paul and his companions then left Paphos by ship for Pamphylia, landing at the port town of Perga. There, John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem, but Paul and Barnabas traveled inland to Antioch of Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue for the services. After the usual readings from the books of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them this message: "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it." So Paul stood, lifted his hand to quiet them, and started speaking. "Men of Israel," he said, "and you, God-fearing Gentiles, listen to me. The God of this nation of Israel chose our ancestors and made them multiply and grow strong during their stay in Egypt. Then with a powerful arm, he led them out of their slavery. He put up with them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Then he destroyed seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to Israel as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After that, God gave them judges to rule until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people begged for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin who reigned for 40 years. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And it is one of King David's descendants, Jesus, who is God's promised Savior of Israel. Before he came, John the Baptist preached that all the people of Israel needed to repent of their sins and turn to God and be baptized. As John was finishing his ministry, he asked, Do you think I am the Messiah? No, I am not. But he is coming soon, and I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the sandals on his feet. Brothers, you sons of Abraham, and also you God-fearing Gentiles, this message of salvation has been sent to us. The people in Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize Jesus as the one the prophets had spoken about. Instead, they condemned him, and in doing this, they fulfilled the prophets' words that are read every Sabbath. They found no legal reason to execute him, but they asked Pilate to have him killed anyway. When they had done all that the prophecy said about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And over a period of many days, he appeared to those who had gone with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to the people of Israel. And now we are here to bring you this good news. The promise was made to our ancestors, and God has now fulfilled it for us, their descendants, by raising Jesus. This is what the second psalm says about Jesus. You are my son. Today I have become your father. For God had promised to raise him from the dead, not leaving him to rot in the grave. He said, I will give you the sacred blessings I promised to David. Another psalm explains it more fully. You will not allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. This is not a reference to David, for after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. No, it was a reference to someone else, someone whom God raised and whose body did not decay. Brothers, listen, we are here to proclaim that through this man, Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is made right in God's sight, something the law of Moses could never do. Be careful, don't let the prophet's words apply to you, for they said, Look, you mockers, be amazed and die. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, the people begged them to speak about these things again the next week. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, and the two men urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, It was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews. But since you have rejected it and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message. And all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That is Acts chapter 13 in the NLT. This is such an interesting chapter to me when you think about, again, as we've talked about for days, this like invitation to the Gentiles and how it really shook up a lot of the Jews who'd been believing in Jesus to welcome in people who were not like them. And boy, if that does not mirror some experiences in the modern day church, right? That when someone comes into our church who is not like us, a different history, a different upbringing, a different socioeconomic status, a different race, a different job, a different family, they come in and are not welcomed. What we see modeled here is what Paul keeps saying. And Paul, remember, Paul was the one that was really persecuting the church just years before this. And now he's going like, hey, this is for everyone. Jesus said it was for everyone. And to believe in Jesus is to be welcomed into this family. So that is what stood out to me today. I'd be really curious to hear what stood out to you. Don't forget to tell us on Instagram at Let's Read the Gospels. But let's pray together. Jesus, when I look around at church on Sunday, I want to remember this chapter. I want to remember what is true about who is welcomed with you and who this message is for. It's for everyone. And so help me to see that really new and clear in my faith gathering Sunday. And for all of us, when we show up to where we gather in our small groups or in our communities, at our churches, that we would see, even in our own church, the variety of the kingdom of God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.